Okay, well, we are going to continue on our teaching series on Christian relationships. And this morning we're going to deal with man's relationship to God. And if you would take your Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We just got finished last week with going over God's relationship to man. God at various times, as we saw, went into a covenant relationship with different groups of people, And a covenant, as we went over, basically is a contract, what we would consider a contract. It's a verbal or written agreement between two parties, and they agree on it, and everybody is to do what they're, you know, say they were going to do. One thing that we did see, a primary attribute in God's involvement with these covenants, is that he always did what he said he would do. Always. He never failed. And that's an attribute that we want to imitate as best as possible, even though we're not perfect. But we are wonderful. And when we are involved with relationships, the different ones that we have, we should carry out that same principle that God does, and that is what we say we are going to do, that we would do. And that's a great learning, great attribute. So what we want to look at is man's relationship to God. We saw that in God's relationship to man, that God was the initiator of the whole thing. God's the one that set it up. God's the one that made the covenants. God's the one that set the terms and conditions. He was the starter of the whole thing. It wasn't man. God was the one who started it. Man was supposed to respond by agreeing to the covenant and involving himself with the covenant and doing what the covenant, you know, the terms of the covenant. And when we looked at the first relationship with Adam and Eve, we see that man didn't continue in that covenant relationship, didn't go by the terms of it. There was an influence from the devil. They adhered to what the devil had suggested, and it messed up that relationship. And man was booted out of the garden, as you know. But before that boot got there, there was a promise from God Almighty that he would redeem man. He would bring a savior to man to restore that relationship in due time, of which we looked at it a little bit. So in Ephesians chapter 2, we see that there was a change. Man originally, I didn't say this, man originally was the ruler of the earth. Adam was the ruler. But when he relinquished that rulership to the devil, as we know, and from that point on, man was no longer the ruler. He became subservient to the devil. And we read that in chapter 2 here, verse 1 of Ephesians. This gives some reference to where we were before we got born again. It says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation." Conversation could be translated manner of life, way of living. "We had our manner of life in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." So we were living in the domain of the devil ever since a man was cast out of the garden. He was living in a domain of the devil, and it's still happening today. Man lives in the domain of the devil unless they get born again of God's Spirit, as we know. Let's go to same chapter, verse 12. Shows again some of the state we were in. "That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world." And that's where man was and still is today, unless they get born again of God's Spirit. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. So man's relationship to God, part of it is that man is under the domain of the devil, God's arch enemy. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness?" That's referring to the, basically to the devil, his influences, his power, the power of darkness, "and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." We got that redemption because of the promise that God had made to Adam and Eve before they were expelled, that, you know, there would be a Redeemer coming. And that has happened, and we're beneficiaries of that whole process that has gone on. So, back to the garden, or Genesis. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 6. We're going to just take a look at something there. Now, once man was booted out of the garden, expelled from the garden, they had that promise, but they also had freedom of will. God didn't remove their freedom of will at all. And man could choose to ignore God, ignore the promises that were made, mock God, do whatever they wanted. That was man's choice. And we see here a lot of people, for whatever reason, chose that choice. In chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." So a lot of people chose to ignore God, to mock God, to do that which was contrary to God and his will and his word. not a very good choice, but that's what they made. The other choice that they could do was to choose to accept God's promise and believe on the promise that was available. That was the other choice. And we're going to look at Exodus chapter 19. Man could choose to accept the covenant that God offered. God does, as you know, God does not force anyone to abide by his terms. We still have freedom of will. None of us are robots forced to do anything. But he wants us to choose his word and his conditions, but we're not forced to. And as we saw last week, we looked at the children of Israel with the covenants they had with God, or the covenant, and the things that God said he would do. And we're going to look at their response to God's offer. And in chapter 19... verse 5, this is God talking to Moses. Verse 5, it says, "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them, before their faces, all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. So God had made a covenant available to the children of Israel. They listened to the terms and they said, "All those words, we're going to do them." So they signed on the line. Chapter 24. God laid out terms of what they were to do, what Israel was to do and not do. And they said, "Yeah, we're interested in that." Chapter 24, verse 3. "And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said, we will do." That's what they agreed to. Verse 4. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and builded an altar unto the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Verse 7. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they all said, or they said, all that the Lord hath said we will do and be obedient. So they're very agreeable. They are agreeing to this whole thing. Let's go to chapter 4. Or Deuteronomy, sorry. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy chapter 4. We're just going to look at a few scriptures. They're all over the place where Israel agreed to do that which was laid out for them in their covenant. Chapter 4, verse 13 is another record of this. It says, and he declared unto you his covenant, referring to God declaring unto those children of Israel his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments. And he wrote them upon the two tables of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might do them in the land whither you go over to possess it. Man's response in this relationship really was to do the commandments, do that which he agrees to do. Not just to kind of say, yeah, I will, and then not do. It was to do them. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Man is to do that which he says he will do in his covenant with God Almighty. Chapter 5, verse 1. It says, and Moses called all Israel and said unto them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep them and do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not his covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us who are all of us here alive this day. The Lord talked with you face to face in the mount out of the midst of the fire. Pretty wonderful. Let's go to verse 27, same chapter. It says, go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. Chapter 4, verse 13. I think we read that one already. Yep. Mm-hmm. I think you get the essence. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1. I think you get the essence here that they heard it. They said, yeah, we'll agree to that. And they did it. Well, we're to do it. Joshua chapter 1. Man is to do the terms of the agreement, which in this case was the law. Chapter 1, verse 16. This is Joshua reading the covenant, parts of the covenant, and the commandments to God Almighty for those children of Israel, and their response, verse 16, and they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest we will go. They're very agreeable to this. So we see that man had covenanted with God. Now that's pretty big. They covenanted with a God who is all-powerful, he's patient, he's loving, he's kind, he's full of goodness, he's full of mercy, he's full of knowledge, full of wisdom. I mean, he's just full. He's God Almighty. And these believers covenanted with and went into this big agreement with that type of God. It's not like they went into covenant with some jerk. They went into covenant with God Almighty. And all they had to do in their relationship, man's relationship with God, was simply to do it and carry out that which they said they would do. What a privilege to be able to even do that. I mean, in today's world, like in sports and stuff, some guys are actually good enough to get hired in professional sports. It could be considered quite wonderful that a team like a New York Yankees, or I don't know about the New York Jets, but you know, certain teams, that they would actually want to go into contract with you. So, you know, athletes thrill at the idea that some professional team actually wants to go into contract with them. You know, people really want that. A lot of people do. That are in that realm. Well, God Almighty wants to go into covenant, wanted to go into covenant with the children of Israel, and they said, yeah, we're interested in that too, and they went into it. It's just an incredible thing. Really wonderful. Well, they did hook up with God. We saw that. Once they said, yes, we're going to do it, they had two responses. And I know this might be a shock, but the two responses were, sometimes they did what they said they were going to do, and sometimes they did not do what they said they were going to do. And a great study for the Old Testament is to go through and look at the responses of the children of Israel. When they did that which they said they were going to do according to the scriptures, their lives were blessed, they were taken care of, they were happy, they were fed, things were going well. When they decided not to do that which they covenanted to do with God Almighty, they kind of relinquished the great blessings that were available to them. And it's a great study of man going through the Old Testament and seeing where they say, I do, and I did it, and they got blessed. And then they said, I do, but I'm not going to do it. It's just an incredible thing. Great study to just go through the Old Testament and see how these things panned out. Let's go to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. When they did that which they covenanted to do, their lives were really blessed. And when they didn't, they relinquished those blessings. Psalm 1. Verse 1, we're going to read the first three verses. It says, bummed out is the man. No. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So as man would do that which he said he would do in the covenant, great things happened. So man's response to this covenant was that he was to do that which the covenant said. Pretty simple. No rocket science here. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. I don't need to go through much of the Old Testament to show the times when they didn't do that which they said they would do. It could get pretty ugly, but it's great learning for our lives. Great learning. Now remember the promise that God made to man before Adam and Eve were expelled from the garden, that there would be a Redeemer coming. That promise continued to be unfold as time went on through the Old Testament. And then when the Redeemer was finally born, anybody know his name? Jesus Christ, right? When he finally came, when he finally he did the work of redemption, and all things were fulfilled that God needed to bring a greater covenant than what he offered to the children of Israel, he went into what is called a new covenant, and we call it the New Testament. That which God covenanted to people with more to offer, greater or newer. It's like having a better phone or a better whatever. God had a better covenant to offer. And once again, man had, because he still has free will, man's relationship to God, he can say, I don't want it. Man today has the opportunity to ignore God's offer. Ignore it, mock it, call it stupid. I've even had people tell me it's unfair that God would say you have to believe in Jesus Christ to have all this stuff. I want to believe in something else. So God's really unfair on us. I've heard all kinds of things. But God makes the offer, and man can choose to do what he wants with it. It's the offer is on the table, man can grab it or not. But the terms to the new covenant that God has made, the terms are in Romans chapter 10. This is what you do if you want to sign on the line. Verse 9, very familiar verse of scripture, says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And that is how we get into this covenant that God has made with people today. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there's an interesting word there. In verse 9, we'll read it again. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, the word Lord there, he is, when we're doing this, we are making him our Lord. It's basically what we're doing. Now, a Lord basically means a master, someone who has authority or dominion over you. Could be a good thing, could be a bad thing, but it's someone who has authority over you. And we are saying that we're going to allow the Lord, Jesus Christ, to be our Lord, to have dominion over us. Is Jesus Christ going to force us or want us to do anything contrary to God's word or God's covenant to us?
No.
Not at all. But when we covenanted that we would have Jesus Christ our Lord. When Israel covenanted with God in the Old Testament, they would do the words of the law. All those words were written down and read to them, and they heard them and said, yeah, that sounds good, I'm going to do that. We heard these words, and we said, yeah, that sounds good, and we decided to do it. Do we want to place ourselves in the same situation of Israel where they said, I heard it, but I don't know if I want to do that one this time? Same deal. Man's relationship to God today is we have a Lord that we've made, Jesus Christ is his name, and we abide by that which our Lord says for us to do. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8. Man's relationship to God is that he is to do that which he says he's going to do in his agreement to God Almighty. For us today, it's that which is in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 8, verse 9. This is an example of a Lord, the authority of a Lord. It says, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say unto this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. It's a very simple relationship. Hey, do this, and you do it. Hey, don't do that, and you don't do it. And that's why I say, great reading when you go to the Old Testament and you look at how man lived up to his words in the covenant. When they followed that which the covenant was, boy, they got blessed. When they didn't, they relinquished their blessings to something else, I guess. We have the wonderful opportunity in that... It's a grace administration. The covenant is somewhat different. Jesus Christ paid all the price for us. We don't have the cursing that was in the law. We have the blessing, but we don't have the cursing. Now we may relinquish blessings at times that could be ours, but we don't get cursed. There's the major difference between Old Testament and the new covenant. The curse has been gotten rid of by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a wonderful thing. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. I realize this is a huge subject. I'm trying to do it as briefly as possible. Man's relationship to God is to do that which he covenanted or agreed to do with God and for God. And if we did what Romans 10, 9, and 10 says, we are signed up. I remember teaching one time years ago, I taught on the greatness about the importance about if you're going to have a Lord, you would follow him. And And then at the end, I said, well, it looks like everybody already did. You know, it was like they're deciding whether they wanted to or not, but it was too late. They had already done it years ago. Romans chapter 6, verse 11. This is actually the first command to those people who have covenanted with God in the new covenant. It says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's something that we are to do in this part of our covenant that we made with God. When we made Jesus Christ our Lord, this is something that we are to do. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. These are some of the terms and conditions that we agreed to. It says, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable for you to do this because you said you would. You said you would make Jesus Christ your Lord, and if you're going to have him your Lord, you should be presenting yourself the way God says. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. These are the words that we agreed to when we got born again, when we made Jesus Christ our Lord. So, so today man can still choose to either accept the Lord Jesus Christ or to reject him, to accept the covenant that God's making available or reject it. Still available. We have chosen that. So then in choosing, what we're to do is to respond by doing, just like they said in the Old Testament. We'll do what you said to do. And the entire New Covenant is written in the New Testament, New Covenant books. You know, Romans, all those books tell the detail, the terms and conditions, so to speak, of which obviously we have been taught a lot of it, but to look at it in light of that, that it's really a covenant that we covenanted into with God Almighty. So next week, what we're going to do is we're going to look at the devil's relationship with man. It seems like if the devil gets involved with in between the relationship of God and man, problems arise. And so if there was no devil, it would be a little bit of a different story. So we're just going to look at how man is with the devil, that relationship there, who's got what, and all that kind of stuff. So, but it's really a wonderful thing. The simplicity of man's relationship to God is simply to carry out that which God has, you've agreed to do, what God has set forth. And the detail of it for us is in the church epistles and other epistles in the New Testament.